We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorling U.
Welcome in, Snorling U, week three, college football off and running, totally underway. And if you were with me last week, look, if you paid attention to this pod last week, you know I got fucking slaughtered. Things are going to happen. I told you, look, week one, we went 4-4. Decent, you tip the bookie, you tip your hat, you move on. We did all right. 4-4 ain't nothing to complain about. Last week, I pare it down. I feel like I got some really nice plays. What I gave out on the pod, we go 2-6, 2-4, rather. What I fought back a little bit live, if you were following along with me on Twitter just throughout the day, I'm not going to put those on the record. So for the pod right now, I'm looking at 6-8. So for 2 weeks, 6-8, I mean, it could be worse, but you hate seeing a 2-4 go through there. Look, if you gamble enough, if you do this a long enough amount of time, this type of shit's going to happen to you. You're going to get slaughtered once in a while. There's going to be bets that you just get beat because you're on the wrong side. There will be times like that. One of them, great example a week ago, Bama, minus 20. Look, guys, my bad. That was a loser from the very start. The second that game kicked off, you could see that wasn't Bama. That wasn't a normal Saban team. That was probably the worst game I've seen Nick Saban coach. That was probably the worst I've seen a Saban team look as far as being disciplined. I mean, they killed themselves with penalties. Bryce Young looked like there was zero sense of urgency. I understand the calm, cool, collected. That's what you want to be in a spot like that on the road at Texas. But honestly, I think it was just a bad read. Bama doesn't play those games. They don't. Look, they're the number one team in the country year in, year out, perennially. They are top dog. They don't schedule those games. They haven't in like a decade and a half. Yeah, I know they play Michigan, but they do that in Arlington, AT&T Stadium, neutral site. They'll play Georgia, whoever. They'll play them in Atlanta. They don't play these games where they go on the road to DKR Memorial Stadium in Austin, full-on Texas crowd, true road game. Bama doesn't play those in the non-conference. They just don't. I mean, if you ask as a Spartan fan, I had a home, my team had a home-and-home scheduled with Saban. They backed out because they didn't want to go north. They don't play those games because they don't have to, so they don't schedule them. And so a bad spot by me, honestly, just removing that aspect from things, going on the side that 99.9% of America was on. Look, if you had somebody feeding you Texas plus 20, I'd love to meet them. They didn't exist. Everyone in the world was on Bama, whether it was me telling you, look, the emotion gets you through that first quarter, and then you got to look in the bright lights. Dude, if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, Texas wins that game by double digits. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming. And I will touch on Texas in a little bit. Bama, I want to wait and see. That did not look like your old Bama. Army money line, look, I've given you Army 2 weeks in a row. I gave you Army win total over. I'm going to take a break from giving you Army. Now the value is going to be snuffed out of them because they're playing nobodies. I mean, they're playing the Colgates of the world, the UConns of the world. They're going to be handing out ass kickings. So the value snuffed out of them. Honestly, you're up 31-14 or 28-14. 20, whatever the score was. I think it was 28-14 because it went to overtime 35-35. You're up 28-14. Your passing quarterback, who was like 7 of 8 for 220 yards and a couple tutties, gets hurt. Pulls him out of the game. You put in your triple option, run first QB again. Nothing's working. Offense stalls out. All of a sudden, it's 28-28. UTSA's got you by the balls. You finally bring your passing QB back in. get on the board 35-35. And then in overtime, you can't help but fuck yourself. You get the false start penalty, back you up. As if that's not a bad enough place to start, you take sacks, runs, you have a fake handoff to the wrong side. I mean, it was crazy shit that's happening with Army. And it's something that there, you go, what are you going to do? Army up 28-14. Money line's going to cover easy. UTSA has nothing. Quarterback dies. Oh, well, we're fucked. I mean, sometimes you're just going to be on the wrong side of those things. Look, I gave you Wake, -12.5. That was never a loser. They blew the brakes off Vanderbilt. I gave you Iowa State, +3.5. Iowa cannot score. More on that in a minute. I told you Pitt +6. That ended up being a loser. I said it was Pitt or pass. It felt like Pitt the entire way. I didn't play that game. I told you I wasn't playing that game. Kentucky, I wish I gave you. I can't count it. I ended up playing Kentucky on the money line. I told you a week ago I'd only play it if it got to 6.5 or 7. It never wavered off 6. 4 o'clock came around. I'm thinking I'm going to hit Kentucky on the money line. I did it. Kentucky won. Again, that bet was never a loser. The two that left and lost, Stanford +8.5. What are you going to do? If you watch that game, Stanford turns the ball over twice inside the 5. They lost that game. I mean, they were a drive away at the end from covering the 8.5. They lost that one by 14. Like, that's another spot where if you just don't turn it over inside the 5 twice, we cover that game. And it's not me telling you, like, look, I'm giving you the right. It's me saying the key to this whole gambling deal, if you're going to do it long term, if you're going to try to win money, trust the work that you put in. Trust the process that you have. Trust the numbers that you're getting to. Because even going 2-4, look, the results fucking blow. It sucks when you do this and you just get slaughtered. But even going 2-4, I look at these numbers. Army, 2-touchdown lead in the third quarter. You know, Iowa State, never a loser, really. 7-0, but once they got on the board, even at 7-3, you just felt like they're knocking on the door so many times, Iowa can't score, this is going to happen. Like I told you, Kentucky, never a loser. Wake, never a loser. Stanford, you look at it and you go, yes, it lost, but I feel like I was on the right side. Army, you look at it, the quarterback dies, you feel like you're on the right side. Michigan -51.5. This one really burns me. 42-0 at halftime, and you bring Cade McNamara back in the game. He gets 3 punts and a pick against Hawaii. I mean, you score 1 or 2 of those, and I don't want to bitch too much, like, oh, well, hey, this guy fucked me. I know you're doing the usual, like, gambling deal, the degenerate deal there. But again, 51.5, it's 42-0 at halftime. I felt like I was on the right side. If JJ gets 10 more snaps, if Cade doesn't, you know, set his career on fire, you're looking at Michigan covering there easily. Stanford, I felt like the right side. Bama was the only one where I felt like, from kick, I was dead wrong. So 2-4, you move on, you do better the next week. And with that, I want to get into the board and a little NFL bonus at the end. I've got 3 NFL plays that I want to hand you out at the end. So let's get to the board. All right, I want to start with 2 games I'm actually not playing, but I know that you're going to want to watch them. So I want to take you through my thought process, explain why I don't want to bet these two, and then I'll take you into the games I am actually looking at. Some of them are the sexier matchups. Some of them are the ones you are not going to watch. I want to make sure that we cover all the bases, give you what I'm doing, and just add something here that's kind of a supplement for whatever you want to do. If you're tailing me every week just blindly, that's not the point here. The point here is to have a discussion, talk a little football, talk a little college football, get some ideas out there, kind of explain my process, where I'm looking at things, going through some of these bigger games that even I'm not playing, talking through them. And then you have an opportunity to take what you hear, add it to your own thing, totally ignore it. That's up to you. You do your deal. I'll do my deal. We'll see where we end up. So I want to start with Georgia at South Carolina. Everybody's going to want to watch Georgia this year. The reason being, they might be like the best team in America by an incredibly wide margin. I mean, we saw what happened with Alabama on the field of Texas the other day. I think you knock Ohio State a little bit after we've seen just how bad Notre Dame is. You know, Ohio State's 0-2 against the spread, couldn't cover 44.5 against Arkansas State, couldn't cover 17 against Notre Dame. Notre Dame then goes back home to South Bend and loses outright to Marshall in a game where they paid Marshall $1.2 million. Georgia might just be that good. After beating the brakes off Oregon, they might just be one of one. But the issue here is at South Carolina. That has been a death trap of sorts for Georgia in the past. They don't go there and win a ton. They definitely don't go there and cover a ton. It's not an easy place to play. One of the better game day environments. It's a conference game, SEC East. One of those spots where you look at laying 24.5. The part of me thinks Georgia might just be that good. They might be the one of one where they're going to go cover 3.5 touchdowns. No problem at South Carolina, who's not a very good team. But again, road conference dog. I think the only way you could play this if you wanted to is you bet on South Carolina. I'm not getting in front of the freight train. I'm not going to be on the wrong side of Georgia, so I'm not doing it. But I can't bet Georgia either. That's just how I look at this game. So I'm going to pass on that one, even though it's one of the more interesting games to watch. And then probably, if not the first most, either the second or third sexiest matchup of the weekend, Penn State in Auburn taking on the Tigers. This is another one where I just kind of pass. I mean, if you look at it and you just see home SEC, non-con, Big Ten team traveling south, Big Ten team, Penn State in this case, -3, you might get a little screwy-eyed and want to bet Auburn. And I can understand it, but their quarterback situation, it's one of those, if you got two, you don't have one. And that's kind of where I get worried about betting on the Tigers here. You know, their coaching situation has been a disaster ever since a year ago. The guy's name escapes me, but all of the scandal around everything with that program, he was nearly fired, he was nearly asked out, he was nearly suspended, all of these things. Where Auburn's got a lot of questions. This isn't Cam Newton Auburn. This isn't Nick Marshall Auburn. This is kind of rebuilding Auburn. This is Auburn with a lot of question marks. Two QBs, two guys who aren't very good maybe. But then you go to the flip side and you see Penn State. Sean Clifford on the road in the SEC in an environment like that. Maybe half of you goes, we don't think a ton of Purdue. Purdue's not the greatest team ever. Penn State already went and did this, though. They went on the road, West Lafayette, game-winning drive last minute. They get the win. Maybe you just bet Penn State for that reason. The other fear, though, with this is the second half of a home-and-home. Auburn was in Penn State a year ago. Auburn made it really tight, close game, came down to the wire. This is kind of a revenge spot. And if you go and kind of look at some of the fan forums for Auburn, you check out some of the player quotes, the players feel that way too. Chip on their shoulder. This is a game they want badly. They want to get the revenge on Penn State. It's a spot where I don't love James Franklin already. I hate Sean Clifford as a quarterback. I told you that when we had Purdue Moneyline. I trust Aiden O'Connell more than I trust Sean Clifford. In this case, I don't trust either of the quarterbacks. But I'm scared off of both sides because I've seen Penn State go on the road and win. I also have seen them go on the road and lose. And in the case of Auburn, they're fired up. But I'm scared to bet on a team that spent all last offseason going through all of these off-field storylines where their coach is hiding out in the wilderness, basically. Wearing sunglasses and going out the back door of a building after a closed door board meeting with the Auburn board of directors, hopping into the back seat of a Tahoe, no interviews, and getting the hell out. It's a weird situation what's going on with Auburn. So I don't want to bet either side of this game. I can't wait to watch it. I think you'll learn a little bit about Penn State. I think you'll learn a little bit about Auburn's quarterback situation. If you watch this game, I have no interest in betting it. With that said, I want to get to the games I am interested in betting. And I'm going back to the well. This hurt me a week ago. Michigan -51.5 against Hawaii. I'm taking Michigan -47.5 again at home against UConn. If you look at what's going on in Ann Arbor, there's been word that the coaches are using this as the official tune-up for Big Ten play. Big Ten play, of course, starts next week. I believe Michigan hosts Maryland. I know they're in Ann Arbor for that first game. But this is the spot where Michigan is really starting to try to tune up for Big Ten play. And The story out of Ann Arbor now, the 20 or fewer snaps that the starters got against Hawaii, that number's getting cranked up to 40 snaps. The starters are going to get 40 snaps against UConn in Ann Arbor. Place is going to be a zoo. J.J. McCarthy playing into the third quarter. Look, it was when the starters were on the field in the first half for Michigan, it was 42-0 over Hawaii. 47.5, I know things have to go right in that second half. I wonder if Cade even finds his way onto the field after what happened in that detonation spot against Hawaii. Instead, they go with that walk-on whose name escapes me. Great story. Kid survived cancer, came out, threw a touchdown pass for Michigan against Hawaii. Got two scores, I believe, on the board. I think that's probably the backup situation Michigan goes to. And the other deal is, even on defense, when they get their sub packages in, they're still going to out-athlete UConn on every part of the field. It's just that they're that much better. They recruit at that much higher of a clip. I told you, UConn a couple weeks ago, this is a program that didn't have a football program as recently as 3 or 4 years ago. They're still in rebuild mode. There's a lot that they have to get done. They have work to do. So as much as I hate to go back to the well on Michigan, as much as I hate to lay 47.5 again, when you tell me the starters are getting 40 snaps, I really feel like we're in a scenario where this is going to be the bomb spot. This is going to be the Michigan 72, Rutgers 0. This is going to be the we're going to line up, tune up, make sure we're ready to go for conference play. Sorry about your luck, UConn. We're not calling the dogs off. We're just going to come out and kill you. This is really the one that I'm maybe the most confident in of the entire sheet, my entire card this week. This is the spot I look at the best. Another one this is a sexier matchup too. BYU at Oregon. BYU fresh off the overtime win, over Baylor. Great game if you watched it. It was on, till 1 a.m. Central Time. So if you were up like me, a freak watching BYU Baylor, sweating out having BYU -2.5, that did end up covering, saved part of my night. I don't want to be too tacky about it because I didn't give it out on the pod. But I look at this here and Oregon's quarterback situation is like a genuine concern. I know they're probably not as bad as they were against Georgia. Georgia made them look that bad. But when you think about Bo Nix, I mean, that guy, we saw it at Auburn, was no good. We then saw it at in Oregon. The same deal. Decision making was kind of rough. Not exactly making the best calls. Not reading pre-snap what the coverage looked like. Getting tricked by man versus zone. Seeing ghosts in certain places. So when you talk about like the quarterback disparity here, I mean, Jaren Hall for BYU versus Bo Nix for Oregon. Jaren Hall is the better quarterback. If you want to wait and see what happens with BYU's receivers, you can. That's Gunnar Romney and I believe it's Puka Nacua are the two names. They were out against Baylor and they beat Baylor anyways. My issue there is if you wait to see, this number is going to go out to probably 4.5 or 5 if both of those guys do end up playing. Now, Autzen Stadium's not an easy place to play, but I think BYU's in a spot where they are the better team. They're kind of the independent that's Power 5 quality, especially when Notre Dame looks the way they do. This is a team in BYU that's Power 5 tough. They're big on the line. They're going to be physical with you like they were with Baylor. They'll get physical with Oregon. They're playing a basically Power 5 schedule here. It's a spot where, look, you're giving me the 3.5, I'm taking them. I think BYU goes in there, and I actually think they have a chance to win this game outright. So when you give me BYU, I'm all in. I'm all in with the 3.5. The next game I want to go to is the sexiest game on the board for me. It's Michigan State at Washington. This, I believe, if you're just looking at the number and you look at kind of the trends and where things have gone with this, back in September when this game came on as a future market, it was Michigan State -3.5. It goes up this week on basically every shop you look at. Michigan State +2.5 gets immediately bet out. Michigan State +3.5. So there's no belief here that Michigan State's going to win this game, basically. if you just follow what the betting markets are telling you, everybody's all over Washington. It's a very difficult spot when Big Ten teams go out west. If you remember a few years ago for Michigan State, this happened with Arizona State going out to Tempe, and they got absolutely clowned by Herm Edwards because they just couldn't score. That's the issue when Big Ten teams go out west. They just can't score. Now, if Michigan State can get on the board, I mean, this is basically what Michigan State at Miami was a year ago, right? Michigan State, I believe in that game, opened +4.5, closed +7. They won that game outright. That was the Mel Tucker kind of legacy-making game. It got him a huge payday. It got him a respect as a national type of guy. It got him the LSU rumors, really made his career, and made Michigan State a major player again. So this one is where I look at it because of the way the number has moved, because of the history of Big Ten teams going to the West Coast. I look at it as Washington or pass, but I could totally understand if you wanted to get on MSU just because of that MSU-Miami game, because you believe in Tucker. He's been able to be a difference maker at this program. The only real letdown loss was at Purdue the week after you beat Michigan at home. Big rivalry letdown spot. And then, of course, that dumpster fire game at Ohio State a year ago. Washington, on the other hand, I mean, it's not any great shakes, Washington. It is a very difficult place to go play. It's a tough trip to have to make going to Seattle. I kind of lean Washington or pass here, but I'm not betting against Michigan State because if I lose both the money and the game, I'll be very upset. So I'm not going to touch this game, but if I was going to give it to you, I'd say Washington or pass. I want to get to the best of the rest very quickly. I'm going to run through these and I'll get you my NFL bonus plays. The first one I'm looking at is Nevada at Iowa. Everybody wants to look sideways at Nevada because they had this buy game situation. They paid Incarnate Word, an FCS team, $400,000 to come play at Nevada. Nevada loses outright. Very embarrassing stuff. It's almost like Marshall beating Notre Dame. So everybody's looking sideways at Nevada. +23.5 on the road in Kinnick at Iowa. Here's the deal. How does anybody look at Iowa and flip 3.5 touchdowns? How? Explain it. Iowa threw 8 quarters of football this season, offensively, has scored 10 points. 8 quarters of football, they have 1 touchdown. In the past 9 games of Iowa football, they have more interceptions than they do passing touchdowns. And I believe the margin is 10-1. This offense for the Hawkeyes, it can't score at a morgue. And Kirk Ferentz, to be quite honest, if this is the way it continues to look the rest of this season, might need to be looked at as a career change. Certainly, his nepotism hire son at OC. So I don't see how anybody, Iowa could be playing Orchard Lake St. Mary's out of Michigan, a high school. They could be playing IMG Academy. I'm not flipping Iowa 23.5. There's no way you can ask Iowa to beat anybody by 3.5 touchdowns. We already saw him play, I believe it was South Dakota State week 1, an FCS team. They scored 7 points, 3 of them offensively, a field goal and 2 safeties. So I don't really care that they're hosting Nevada. Getting 23.5, I'm all over it. I'm all over the Wolfpack. I don't believe in Iowa's offense. I don't think they can score in a morgue. So I'm on Nevada here. UTSA at Texas. UTSA +12.5. This is easy money. Everybody and their mother is on Texas after what happened against Alabama. Here's the deal. Texas lost their quarterback, Quinn Ewers, in that first quarter. Dead. Backup comes in. Gets hurt. Can't move. He's a statue. You know what might happen against UTSA? Texas is going to waltz out a third-string QB for his first ever start as a freshman. You want to put your money on Texas -12.5 just because they kept it close against Bama at home? I understand it's very difficult for a school like UTSA to go to Austin and keep things tight with the Longhorns. There's no way you can hop on Texas right now. This is the most overvalued they will be all season. Fresh off the Alabama competition where they actually got into the rankings despite the loss into the top 25. UTSA on the road in Texas. This is a spot where it's UTSA or nothing. I'm all in plus 12 and a half. The final bet I'm making, and it's kind of the same principle. Fresno State at USC, Fresno State plus 12 and a half. Fresno's a team that could have gone 12-0. They had a little bit of a rough showing in the fourth quarter. Oregon State got to them late. They lost that game late in week two. Fresno State now has to go on the road to USC, who is going to be as highly valued as they have been all season. But do you know what people aren't looking at with USC? Because everybody's so enamored by Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and this amazing high-powered offense, Jordan Addison, all these players that they've got. That defense blows. Stanford was throttling the ball down their throat with a pretty simple read option, long mesh point scheme that Wake Forest popularized. David Shaw took over. USC was getting absolutely gashed. Fresno State's going to be as low valued as they are all season here. This is a team, like I told you, they could have gone 12-0. They had a chance to be that kind of frisky, non-con group of five. Hey, we're going to make some noise and be involved in the college football playoff. That didn't end up happening. They lost to Oregon State. A little things happened at the end of that game. Some tough ends on defense. But you're giving me 12 and a half points going to USC, who cannot guard anyone. Look, this is where you just put your money with the backdoor cover potential. Maybe USC's up two touchdowns late. USC's up maybe 17 late in this game, and Fresno gets a nice garbage time score. You get the backdoor cover. USC's defense just simply is not good enough. That's a team, again, two turnovers inside the five for Stanford last week. Stanford covers easily if either of those score. Easily. USC went up 41 to nothing, basically. And Stanford made it 41-28. They had the ball with a chance to get down the field and cover the back door. So this is not some incredible USC defense that's going to cause a lot of havoc in the backfield, that's going to guard your receivers really tightly. They're going to get gashed. I cannot lay 12.5 with USC. I love Fresno State in this spot. I think they're undervalued. That's my card for the weekend. I'll give it back to you right now. Michigan minus 47.5. BYU plus 3.5. Nevada plus 23.5. UTSA plus 12.5. Fresno State plus 12.5. Discipline Chazier. We're going to pair these cards back 5, 6, maybe in a really good week. We'll get 7 or 8 plays. This week, you look at this college football board. It's the worst board you're going to see all year. Everybody's got their conference tune-up scheduled. Everybody's getting ready for next week. Next week, we're hitting this motherfucker hard. Next week, there's a lot of really interesting stuff up there. I can't wait to get into it. Before I get out of here, NFL bonus plays. The Bees. If you're into numbers, you're into making your own numbers, you have an algorithm, whatever you might use. I look at PFF, some other things. I create my own sort of numbers based on closing lines from the week before, looking at the future markets that are available, which now with legalized betting, you can see a lot of those week three lines, even though it's only week two. Couple things I think are off. Bucks at New Orleans, -2.5, -3, depending on where you look. I actually make that game Bucks -4.5. I think New Orleans is tremendously overvalued in this spot. So I'm going to play Bucks -3. Despite the history, Brady and the Bucks against New Orleans doesn't bother me. Bengals -7.5 against the dead Cowboys, who might be playing Cooper Rush at quarterback. Will be playing Cooper Rush at quarterback. I make this game -9.5. I get a 2-point edge. I feel pretty good about Bengals -7.5. And then our Sunday night game here in Chicago, Bears +10, +9.5, depending on where you look. Packers really have some issues. The wide receiving room is horrible. Aaron Rodgers has talked about, you know, typically comes out with the R-E-L-A-X, relax. Not this time. Aaron Rodgers is kind of talking about needing to work out the kinks, needing to figure out how his receivers can get open, where they can get open, needing to build that chemistry. He doesn't have it right now. So Bears +10, +9.5. I actually make that game Bears +7.5. So I love the value I'm getting on those three, the Bees, the Bucks -3, the Bengals -7.5, and the Bears +10, +9.5, wherever you find that number. I love it down to 8.5, I'd stop betting it. Same thing, same deal with Bucks. -3 is as far out as I'd take it. If you get a 2.5, I like that even better. All right, guys, Cap and Jay Hood, 7 to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday. This was Snorling's College Knowledge, or Snorling U, whatever you want to call it. Have a great weekend.